This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahdah, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different responsibilities. One of the responsibility is an individual responsibility. You and I, we have to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala irrespective of the situations that face us. So we are going to come before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Says Allah ta'ala in Surah Maryam, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Each and everyone will come before Almighty Allah alone. وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Allah ta'ala will bring you in front of Him alone, the way you were born alone. So that's an individual responsibility. We have to account to Allah with regard to our complying with the commands of Allah Ta'ala or not. And there will be no justification and excuses. You can't go and say the environment wasn't good or the ulama didn't tell me this. Each and everyone will have to reply and account to Allah with regard to his deeds. So that is an individual responsibility. However, we are also, you and I, we are also social beings. We interact with one another. We live in a community. We live in a society. We live in a neighborhood. What do we do with regard to the neighborhood, the society, the community that we are part of? We also have a responsibility to the community and society that you and I are living in. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized this in a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhalitu al-nas wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min al-Muslimi alladhi la yukhalitu al-nas wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. A Muslim who interacts with people. And in that interaction, there is going to be some form of inconvenience. Many a times you have to listen to people in a community, in a society. So when you are interacting with people, when you bear the patience and bear with patience the inconvenience that you get in interaction, he is better than a Muslim who doesn't interact and he doesn't have to bear patiently the inconvenience of people. Now you hear many a times people saying, me, I just stay away from people. I don't get involved in the community affairs. Unnecessary turmoil. But look at this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's better for you to interact even if you have to bear in patiently the inconvenience of people than not interacting with people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam has taught us great amount of concern for the community and the welfare of the community. I give you one small example. You see, when we're reading tahajjud, even if you're reading two rakats, nafil namaz alone, whether it be in the inner corners of your home, and you are reading, you read Surah Fatiha. In Surah Fatiha, we make a dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Now, anyone who knows a little bit of Arabic will know that ihdina is a plural form. It's not a singular form. Oh Allah, guide us upon the right path. Now, you ask yourself the question, you are making salat alone. You are making dua to Allah alone, between you and Allah. But you are making dua for the collective. Oh Allah, guide us all upon the right path. So we are supposed to have the concern for people both with regard to physical wellness and spiritual wellness. You all know the hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, you are not a believer. If you eat to your full and your neighbor next door or your neighbor in your area, he is dying from hunger, you are not a believer. What type of believer? You are eating to your full and your neighbor is dying of hunger, or he is in poverty, he cannot even have money with regard to his needs or with regard to his food. What type of believer? You are not a believer. In the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not a true believer. Similarly, with regard to the aspect of worrying about the spiritual welfare of the people whom you are coming into contact with, Allah Ta'ala had to tell our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Kahf that we are recommended to read on the day of Friday, on Jummah, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, why are you putting yourself through such a burden that the people are not bringing iman? You can take a view the way you and I, we take this view. You don't want to bring iman, so what about it? We are not responsible for them. We are not responsible for the people who are not reading salat. Why must we worry about them? They're going to go into their own qabr. Nabi Karim S.A.W. didn't do so. Allah Ta'ala had to tell Nabi Karim S.A.W. you are putting yourself through such great burden that people are not bringing iman. That means Nabi Karim S.A.W. used to take it so seriously. In Surah Yasin there's a very amazing incident and I like to make mention of this. You see, so Allah Ta'ala makes mention that Allah Ta'ala sent Anbiya to a particular place, to a particular city. The city was known as Intaqiya. Today it is known as Hattay. It is on the Turkey-Syria border, which is filled with Syrian refugees. I went to the place, I even went to the qabr of the person whom I'm going to relate to you about. So the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam were rejected by the people. So this person was an ordinary person. He was a carpenter by trade. Habib Najjar, قَالَ يَا قَوْمْ اِتَّبِعُوا وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. A person came running from the outskirts of the city, came to the city and said, oh people, listen to the prophets. They are telling you something that is good. They are telling you to worship Allah. وَمَا لِيَ لَا عَبُدُ الَّذِي فَتَرَنِي. What is wrong with you that you don't worship the one who created you? And they martyred him, they killed him. They killed him because of him telling them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the prophets. So because they killed him, Allah Ta'ala, because he was a martyr, Allah Ta'ala put him into Jannah. And while he was in Jannah, you know, while Allah Ta'ala makes mention, قِيلَ أَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, enter into Jannah. And in Jannah, he is making this call. يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. You and I, we read Surah Yasin quite frequently. Can you ever think about this message? A person who was killed by his people, martyred by his people, and he's telling Allah, oh Allah, show the people how you gave me respect by me obeying you and obeying the prophets. After being killed by the people, he's still worried about their welfare. Oh Allah, give them hidayat. Show them what you gave me for following the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Do we have that type of concern with regard to our neighborhood? With regard to the people who are in our neighborhood? With regard to the people? Allah Ta'ala has told us with regard to being part of a neighborhood and fulfilling the rights of neighbors. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in a hadith, there are three types of neighbors. One neighbor, he has got three rights over you. He is your neighbor, he is your relative, and he's a Muslim. Three rights. One neighbor is one who has two rights over you. He is a Muslim and he's your neighbor. One neighbor has one right over you. He is your neighbor even if he's a person from a different faith. Our ulama and our scholars have made mention that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that Allah, Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, emphasized upon me the rights of neighbors to such an extent that I thought that he's going to make them part of the estate, part of one's inheritance. So can you imagine? As it is with our families, we have so much problems. If the neighbors were part of our inheritance, what would have happened? Huh? What would have happened then? But Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Sahabi of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was slaughtering a sheep. That time it was a very rare thing to slaughter and have meat on your table. So as they were slaughtering the sheep, he told the people, when you distribute the meat, see to it that you first give a portion of the meat to the Jewish neighbor. See to it that you give the first portion of the meat to the Jewish neighbor. Do we have that type of understanding of our deen? Huh? Nabi Karim Sallallahu one day went to visit a Jewish youngster who was sick, right? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu went to him. The end result is different, but look at the first result. He went to visit a Jewish non-Muslim person who was sick in the neighborhood. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu went to visit him. Nabi Sallallahu said, become a Muslim, accept me as a prophet. And he looked at his father. His father was a person from the previous scriptures who knew that Nabi Karim Sallallahu was the last prophet because it is made mention in the previous scriptures. He said, Ati Abul Qasim, follow what Abul Qasim has to say, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became a Muslim and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed happiness. But we say follow the Sunnah. How many of us have gone to visit a non-Muslim in our neighborhood who was sick? But yet the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala did it. And now in this particular regard, we show that we are supposed to be part of a neighborhood. We have to show our akhlaq with regard to it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam played a lot of emphasis upon harmony in a neighborhood. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached a pact with everyone in Medina. even the Jewish tribes, the Ansar tribe, he made a mithaq Madina, he made a pact. 47 clauses in that pact, how we are going to live in a neighborhood. And all with regard to neighborhood, our neighborhood, you know, betterment, long before community police forums became popular, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a pact in Medina. How are we going to live as neighbors? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, created a situation of harmony within the neighborhood. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam played a lot of emphasis with regard to harmony of a neighborhood. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us that the well-being of society was paramount in the teachings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let me give you one small example. Abdullah ibn Ubay was the leader of the munafiq, leader of the hypocrites. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew him because Allah Ta'ala told him that he is a leader of the hypocrites. One day someone wanted to kill Abdullah ibn Ubay. Wanted to kill Abdullah ibn Ubay because of the inconvenience he caused to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His own son wanted to do it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his son Abdullah, his name was also Abdullah, Abdullah, don't kill your father. Ya Rasulullah, look at what he has done. He caused us so much harm. He pulled away some of the people on the eve of one of the greatest battles in which Muslims were under threat, the Battle of Uhud. He falsely, you know, created rumors against Aisha radiallahu anha. What and what didn't he do? Oh Abdullah, don't kill him. Why ya Rasulullah? He performs salat with us. He is with us in the masjid. For whatever reason he is coming to us in the masjid, don't do this. People will say Muhammad kills his own companions. Do we keep that in mind with regard to our neighborhood, with regard to the people who are coming to our masjid? And in this particular regard, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was foremost with regard to the society's, you know, problems. One day there was a noise in Medina Munawwara. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and see the noise. People came out of their home with apprehension. And what they saw, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on a horseback. And he said, oh people of Medina, I went to go and see the source of noise. There's nothing to worry about. We talk about the sunnah. Is this not the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? There is a noise in the city, in the neighborhood. There is an apprehension, there is a threat, there is a fear. The Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first to go and see what is with regard to that particular fear. So in this particular way, part of the well-being of society is to seek collaboration and to seek genuine cooperation with people who are in the neighborhood, even if they are of different faith groups. There is even in that, we bear, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran that cooperate with ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa, cooperate with people on goodness and rightness and piety. Now no one is saying that in our cooperation with people of other faiths we must compromise our religion. No, we hold fast onto our religion. We believe in our religion to be the only truth. But there are many issues with regard to a community and society which are society based, which are not necessarily faith issues. Issues like security, like crime. There is a need for us to gather together with people of different groups and different spectrums to be able to face the onslaught against people of all faiths. Look at the situation today in the world with regard to LGBTQ. Look at the situation with regard to family values. Here there is a need for us that we gather together with regard to faith, family values, with regard to morality, with regard to taking a stance against immorality, with regard to cleanliness. And we do so without endorsing any other faith. We do so on the basis of, you know, our neighborhood. That is part of our responsibility. One of our great, you know, scholars, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who isn't buried here also in South Africa, he made mention, he said, if there is a snake in the vicinity, he just gave an example where in India we used to have this type of situation, that there is a snake in a gully. He said, if I have a non-Muslim neighbor, if I gather up together with him to kill that snake because it is causing harm to the vicinity and to the gully or to the street, he said, what is wrong in that? So we have to be part of a neighborhood. It's important for us to be able to see this. And historically, wherever Muslims went in the past, go and look at our history. Wherever we went, we created such an impact in the societies and the communities that we were part of, that people became Muslims because of the role that we played, because of the contribution that we made, because of the akhlaq that we displayed, because of the honesty and integrity that we showed. People became Muslims because of that. So look at Malaysia. Malaysia wasn't conquered by any, you know, Muslim army.
Go and look at the whole history. There was no conquering of Muslim army that went into, you know, Malaysia and Indonesia. But yet Indonesia today is the biggest country with the greatest amount of population in the Muslim world. How did they become Muslim? Because of the honesty, integrity, conduct of Muslim business. Brothers, you and I, especially you people, are in neighborhoods where they are, you interact with people of, you know, non-Muslims. Have you ever thought that the way Muslims in the past made such an impact upon other people, we can make an impact? Why are we always on the defensive? Why are we always saying that we are going to be changed by other people's faiths? So what, after 40, 50 years of being a Muslim, are you going to be changed by other people? Is that the confidence you have in your own faith? When are you going to go on the attack? Huh? If a soccer club only goes on the defense, it's going to lose. But if you are going to show people the beauty of your religion, you become confident about your own religion. In Spain, the Muslims went because the people there called the Muslims that they were being oppressed. So the Muslims came as saviors to Spain. And they remained there for 800 years. The day they cut off the ta'alluq and relationship with the people of the land, the way you and I sometimes are doing in our country, that's the time the people of the land expelled them. And they started killing them because they stopped relating with the people. They were not worried with regard to the issues of the people. How much are we worried with regard to the issues of our country? Huh? These, what is that? I was reading last, there was some 7 million in unemployed people. What is our contribution with regard to, we cannot resolve it, but can we show any sort of raham? Can we show any kindness? Can we show any compassion? What a beautiful statement that he said, when Allah Ta'ala blesses you with some ni'mat, instead of putting up high fences, make your table long. Putting up high fences and remaining in gated communities, I'm not saying anything wrong if you are doing it for security, but is that the only reason that we are going to go and stay away from people and not worry about the affairs of people? One day the discontent of the poor people are going to come upon you, even in gated communities, if you don't play a role with regard to what is happening in the country. And if you don't play a role with regard to the issues of the country, when are we going to show the people the beauty of Islam? When are we going to show people that Islam is for justice? We see what one of the financial aspects, one of the greatest that Islam teaches us about finance, is wealth must not circulate amongst only few people. The interest system is based upon that the wealthy becomes more wealthy and the poor becomes more poor. Allah has given us a solution. What are we doing with regard to that solution? What are we doing with regard to it? And this is the reality. The media today is portraying us as people who are not concerned about people, people who are only worried. I'll give you a personal example. Just two, three weeks ago, you know, my family member, in fact my niece, phoned me one day out of great concern. She went into a new area and there was a community group. So in that community group, someone posted that Muslims are coming into this neighborhood. Muslims believe they are obliged to kill non-Muslims. Be aware. Subhanallah. Now, so she said, please do something. So I did a 5-minute clip and I told her, put it in that community group. Right? So in that community group, one is, I refuted the distortions of the Quranic ayats. I gave them the examples. Whatever has been quoted, it is distorted. What is the Quran? Allah Ta'ala tells, Allah does not prevent you with regard to those non-Muslims who do not fight with you, who do not expel you from your homes, that you must be kind to them. And the word used with regard to kindness is tabarruhum bir, which in the hadith, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used for kindness to parents. Birrul walidain. The same word to non-Muslims who are not hostile to you. I quoted that and I even quoted an example. You thank Allah that the majority of the Muslims don't believe what you are saying. Otherwise, the crime that we have in South Africa would become a walk in the park. If 2 million Muslims believe they have to kill every non-Muslim, what will happen here in South Africa? But now, what I'm trying to say is, are we going to remain in isolation? How are we going to tackle these type of perceptions? If you remain in isolation, are you going to tackle those perceptions? So if you remain in your own particular khanka, I'm not saying anything wrong in the khanka, or in your own particular type of niche, are you going to be able to tackle those perceptions? In isolation, you can't tackle perceptions. You have to interact. And interaction, I'm not saying you must assimilate. Interact with confidence. Confidence with our teachings. How the Sahaba went and they told people with regard to it. And let me conclude. One of our greatest scholars, Maulana Abul Hasan Nabi Rahimullah, has made mention of something which is so, so important for us in our situation in South Africa. we're coming to an elections, make dua, Allah Ta'ala bring khair with regard to it. And I have quoted and I even photostated that portion in which he made, he say, to live in an enclosed environment, simply content with your prayers and fasting, without worry to the people and society you live in, never introducing them to the higher Islamic values and your own personal qualities, then beware if there is any religious or sectarian or community violence that flares up in your community in such a situation, because you have remained aloof from the people, you will not find safety or protection. Your safety and protection is showing people your values. Your safety and protection is not remaining in isolation, is showing and interacting with people, showing them the beauty of Islam. And of course, Islam stands for justice, stands for kindness, stands for compassion. Are we going to rise to that challenge? May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.